Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy, only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And today's expert comes to us all the way from Switzerland. Love being in a global marketplace, right? And that is the power of podcasts. So let me tell you a little bit about her. So based in Zurich, Switzerland, Ilana Jankowicz is a certified mindset money coach, NLP practitioner, and is passionate about helping women in business unblock their money issues and increase their magician archetype. She believes we don't have business problems, but personal money issues that show up in our business or work. She's also a happily married mom of two young adult children who are both now pursuing their life's passion. And so we're going to get really deep today, and we're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about money issues, and we're going to talk about how you can make money using a newsletter to network. And this is what she is doing very, very well, and she's going to share her proven secrets with us. So we're going to go a little bit behind the scenes. Thank you so much, Ilana, for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me, and I really appreciate being here.
I'm really excited. You know, we had a really great conversation, and I really loved how you're using newsletters to network, because I think people think about newsletters to sell, right? They don't always really think about newsletters and networking in the same sentence, right? I think most people think that networking comes first. You do that, you get them on your newsletter, and then once you get them on your newsletter, it's really about sales. Now, we both know that that's really not true. It's really all about nurturing and building that relationship, because we all know that when people are looking and reading a newsletter, they have one finger on the delete button the whole time, right? And so it's really about making sure that they stick with you and you have good stick strategies, because it doesn't really just matter that they're on your email list. What really matters is that they stay on your email list. But before we go there, and I really am excited about this topic, but before we go there, tell us a little bit about you and how you really became a certified mindset money coach, which I really love, and how that happened, because we don't just wake up one day and decide that we're going to do what we do. There's usually a little bit of a story and a journey along the way to get to that aha moment. So how did you get there?
I grew up in South Africa, and we grew up poor. I had hand-downs from my brothers. My mom struggled. She worked a few jobs to basically support the children. She was widowed at a very young age. And I grew up with something which is called scarcity mentality, just not enoughness. And when I became a mom myself a couple of years later, quite a few years later, I made a subconscious mind, a decision, should I say, that my children were never going to go through what I'd gone through growing up, that they weren't going to go to school and feel out, that they never had the latest clothes. They were never going to feel that they couldn't go to a birthday party because they never had the gifts. So literally, when my children were born, I went overboard. I had such consumerism. I bought and I shopped and I just wanted to give them everything. They went to private schools. They literally had every toy, every new thing they had. And I used to get into arguments with my husband because he didn't grow up like this, and he thought I was completely crazy. I mean, everything was fine until all of this behavior started happening. And every month when the credit card statement used to arrive, we used to get into such an argument. He would say to me that the amount on top of the credit card statement is a limit. It's not my target. And that there's 20,000 or whatever the amount was, don't try and spend that every month. You know, you're going overboard. And he used to get so frustrated with me. And some months he wouldn't say anything. I think he was just so fed up with me that I would think I got away with it. And then I would just carry on spending. And I didn't even realize why I was doing this. I didn't realize that there was such an emptiness and not enoughness going on that I needed to fill it. You know, I was looking for an emotional connection. Cutting a very long story short, after this went on for a couple of years and I was managing to max out all the credit cards, and every time I would literally even go to the bank, I would shop without him knowing and hide things. A friend actually suggested, she said to me, have you heard that there are money coaches? And I said, I'm not interested. I don't need money coaching. And she said, just go and have a look at this woman's website. You will be amazed with what they do. I think one day my husband exploded and I just wanted to, he was really not happy with me. He was actually at a stage writing letters to me to tell me to stop spending because I wouldn't listen to him. I used to walk out the room. And I decided to actually contact this money coach and to find out what it was all about. And she was just so lovely. And I decided that I would actually go for money coaching. I think
that's awesome.
Really, every time that we spoke, I was in tears because I just realized how deep all of my issues were running, that it wasn't about just me wanting to buy my children whatever it was. I was shopping because I had a feeling of I'm not good enough. I don't deserve. I'm not good enough. And going through the coaching every week, I was just absolutely amazed with the stuff we were working on and my self-esteem and confidence and just all the lack that I had experienced, but also realizing that it was an addiction. It had become an addiction. And for me, the addiction wasn't only with the money, it was with food. So I never used to leave anything on the table. If the kids didn't eat it, I would eat it because I wouldn't want to throw it in the bin. We grew up poor and literally put on an enormous amount of weight. After the money coaching, I was able then to kind of look at this and think, I don't need that. I then decided that I wanted to help other women. I realized that there were other women out there that also had money issues because some of my friends had told me. And I then decided that I wanted to study further and help other women with their money. It has now grown that I help women in business with their money, to understand their money. And like what you said earlier, I don't believe that there's necessarily business issues, but more money, personal issues that they take to work. Because when you've grown up like that, whatever your circumstances is, you can be sitting trying to do your business and it will hinder you. Your mindset will hinder you. It will tell you that there isn't enough clients, there isn't enough work. Because of what's going on now with the coronavirus, I can't do business. I need to basically not do anything. And all of it is mindset issues that we feel there is not enough.
I think it's also sometimes that it's how we're raised, right? You know, I mean, we think and make choices because of things that our parents did or our peers. But I know that even to this day, I have a very different mindset than my parents had. They were very scarcity minded too. And when I grew up, you know, I became a little bit more abundant. I have a very abundance mindset now, but I really didn't then. And I used to be able to hear my mother's voice, and she's been, you know, passed away for several years, but sometimes I still hear her voice a little bit and I have to tap it down and be like, nope, that was for you. I don't have to listen, right? You know, I make choices for myself, but I totally agree with you because I know that I didn't really grow up in scarcity. I just grew up in a roller coaster. I was raised in Las Vegas, you know, which is a big gambling town. And my mom gambled all the time. And so when it was really good, she handed out $100 bills like nothing, right? You know, oh, honey, here's $200, go shopping and buy what you want. But then when your birthday came, if she didn't do well, like there were years you didn't have Christmas presents, you didn't get birthday presents. So you never knew which it was going to be. It was either really, really good or it wasn't really good. And I really didn't like that when I was growing up. And so I think for me, what I took with it for me was my security was in making sure I always owned a house or two, and that I made sure that, you know, I always had money in the bank. And I never, if something was on sale, I wasn't a hoarder. I didn't do that, but we always did have a backup. If it was on sale, you know, and, you know, I would buy five of them or whatever. Always of things that you would consume, because I always was afraid if something happened and you didn't have the money that you would still have it. So it took me a while when I grew up. And I think a lot of that really affects our mindset about money. I really feel like when you grow up, you almost have to reboot it. Like you have to reboot your money mindset DNA. You know, and you have to make decisions for yourself that this may be how you were raised. You have to think for yourself. And I think a lot of times we don't, we just kind of do how we were raised. And then you get married and somebody else was raised differently. And again, that's when you kind of have sometimes disagreements, right? So I can see where growing up like that was going to be very difficult, and it does shape who we are. But I love that we also have the power to change that. And having a money mindset coaching business and going to see a coach, it's like, you know, you go to a doctor when you have these things. And if, you know, you go to a doctor here, you go to a specialist here, you go, you know, I'm a marketing coach. So whatever you need. But if somebody has issues about money, I think it's fabulous that, I mean, this is the Marketing Media Money Show, right? That there are people who can help people with issues that they have with money, because I think it's just so important. Because I think that unlike other things, if you have issues with money, they can continue to affect you your whole life until you get them in check, right? I mean, people can end up in bankruptcy. There's a lot of things that can happen, and it does affect their self-esteem. So getting that in check. So I think it's amazing that this was your story and now you're helping other women. So I think kudos to you, Ilana. I think that's amazing.
Patty, the problem is my daughter's grown up watching me. So she's now nearly 28, and I've tried to coach her. She starts and then she stops. But basically, she's mirrored me. She's mirrored me because I've been her example. And she will only be ready to release it when she's ready. At the moment, she's not. She's enjoying the spending. But you are 100%. It all starts in your childhood, and it is part of your DNA. You inherit these behaviors because from the time you're born till the age of 10, you have seen and your parents have showed you and you've watched everything that they are doing, and you are literally, you take everything on. You take it on into your subconscious, and these form your patterns, your beliefs, and how you conduct your life. Because of everything we've been shown from birth, literally, for the first couple of years. And it does make up your DNA. And you need to look at what, exactly like what you said, when you hear your mom speaking to you, it's not your life, it's her life. It's things that were for her. And it's very different. You know, we didn't grow up in the wartime, or I didn't. And my parents did, my grandparents did. So it's very, their money story is very different to my money story, but yet I've inherited her money story.
I always like to say, whether it's money or any other thing, you can't start a new chapter if you keep rereading the old one, right? You know, you have to close that chapter and say, okay, that's that chapter, and this is a new chapter. But sometimes people, you know, say, oh, I'm starting a new chapter, but they keep rereading the old chapter. And that is something that I think is really important. And it's kind of hard to do it ourselves, right? That's why we have coaches, right? And coaches always have coaches. I always have at least one, sometimes two. And I have actually even had three at a time or two in my business when I was taking on specific things. and I wanted to hire somebody who that was their specialty. So I think that is a good thing, right? You know, so I think that is really good. And it's good that we have people who this is what they do so that they can help people to unblock those money issues, right? So let's kind of talk a little bit about the archetypes before we go into the newsletter. So let's talk a little bit about the archetypes. So how many are there?
There's 8 different archetypes, and these different archetypes are a lot of them are your characteristics that you show in. So for instance, a lot of women that I work with, the majority of them have the martyr archetype. So they don't know how to charge. They don't know how to put themselves first. They're feeling inadequate. They keep themselves very small. They will often talk to me about I've just got a small business. They don't believe enough in themselves. And it comes back from what happened in the childhood. So a lot of the times, they need to change their mindset. These archetypes are about the mindset. A lot of women have got the innocent as well, which is another archetype. The innocent is she just believes that it's her husband's responsibility to handle the finances. She doesn't know what money is in a bank account. She wouldn't even look in a bank account because she'd be petrified. She'd rather not know. And a lot of these women have to be empowered to know that it's okay. You can look in your bank account. It's your money. You need to budget, and I help them with budgeting. I help them once we worked on the mindset. Another archetype is the victim. And this I find a lot of women that have been through a divorce are in, or the family, exactly like what you mentioned, were gambling, where they've had money and they've lost it. They're holding still onto the past and to the past story. And they're very much a victim. They're very much living in the drama because that's what they know, as opposed to moving forward. Another archetype is the tyrant. And I had the biggest shock of my life when I realized how much tyrant I had in me. The consumerism, the materialism, the comparing myself to everybody else, feeling angry. When I work with the archetypes, I also go very deep. So I find out why it's there. It's not just there because it's there. It's there because, in my case, conditional love. If you do this, you get that. If you don't do this, you don't get that. So a lot of the time, I go quite deep, or all the time, I go very deep and find out where those traits came from. And do they still serve you? Do they need to be there, or do you want to change them? So those are sort of majority of the ones that come up. The other one is the creative artist, where the woman is often very creative, but battles sometimes the artist, sometimes the fortune teller, the tarot card reader, a spiritual type of work, but struggles to live in the material world. So doesn't charge people, has this idea that I've been poor for 40 years, so why am I going to have abundance now? That's very much the creative artist. She kind of struggles between the two worlds. I always say she's got one foot on the one bridge and on the one side of the bridge and the other foot on the other side. And there's very much a whole fight going on inside her head. The warrior is a very good archetype to have, but also not for the scores to be very high, because when the warrior is very high, the person is doing everything by themselves and not able to ask for help or delegate. The magician, and I'm going through these like really, really fast, like one sentence kind of like per archetype. The magician is the archetype that we want. The magician knows how to create opportunities, and from those opportunities to create her financial reality. And the magician is very fluid, very conscious, very wise, always thinking about other people given, which in return she's receiving. So it's a really beautiful archetype to have.
Hmm. I really like that. I like that, you know, you can find out which one you are. Like you said earlier, I really loved when you said, does this serve you or is this something you want to change? So I think that's nice, because I think it always comes back to the fact that, you know, there's things that we do and we're not always aware. But once you become aware, now you have a choice, right? Now you have the choice to say, oh, no, that does serve me. I'm keeping it. No, maybe that doesn't serve me. I want to make some changes. And I think that is very, very good. And so knowing which archetype you are can actually help you with that. So thank you for breaking that down for us, even though we didn't go a little bit in depth, But I think it's really, really great that we know a little bit about them. So now let's talk a little bit about entrepreneurship, right? Being in business and having a business. And now you know, we're balancing our life's passion and we have a business, right? And so we know that when we are doing that, we're always marketing our business, or hopefully they are. Hopefully everyone is marketing their business, right? But I really want to talk today a little bit about newsletters and networking. You know, we have been connected on social media, and one day I saw you say something about that and it really caught my eye. And it's like I said earlier, I think a lot of times people think that you network first, right? And then a lot of times the goal, and a lot of people will say, oh, that's how you get your funnel, right? You network first and then you get people on your email list, and you know, and they have this whole sequencing set that works. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. You know, having a funnel, there's a marketing funnel and a sales funnel. I totally get that, and actually teach it as well. But I don't think it's really the basis. Really, we all know that it's about building relationships. I like to say all the time that the only difference between a contact and a contract is the R, and the R is for relationships. And I believe that connection is the currency in our business environment right now. I think it always has been, but I think really right now, even more so than it has ever been. So it's really important that you know how to network. So whether you're networking in person, and we're not all doing that so much right now, but virtually, right? We're doing it virtually. But then you do get them on your newsletter, right? You have some great offers, maybe some great opt-ins, freebies, sometimes whatever word people want to use, that you are providing value. And so someone chooses to give you their email, and they do that because they want to receive something of value. And then you do, and you give them something of value. But what happens a lot of times after that is, I mean, I am sure that, you know, many, 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 many of you in my audience have signed up for somebody's newsletter. And as soon as you did, then they started hitting you with sales, 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 and selling to you. I have people in my inbox that I just love when I get their newsletters. They're so valuable and they have all kinds of great value in them, and they add to my life. And so I love having them. And then there's things that I sign up for, and as soon as I do, within a week, I'm unsubscribing from them because they don't get it, right? But here's the thing that you said that really, really had me, is how you use your newsletter to continue to network after they opt in, which I really love. So first, I really want to talk about ways you add value to your mailing list and to your newsletter. And then we'll talk about networking. But first, let's talk about what are some of the things that you do to add value to your mailing list.
For me, I hate those emails or those newsletters that come where they are just selling you something. And if you don't buy it, you get another email 6 hours later, and then another email the next day, and then 6 hours later. And then they start making you feel terrible why you haven't bought, and tell you all these things that are going to happen to you if you don't buy whatever they're trying to sell. Those are the ones that in 5 minutes I unsubscribe because it drives me nuts. I believe that the people that are on my mailing list, I need to nurture them. I need to give them content, and I need to build a relationship with them. I need to give them advice and tips. And often I'm giving them money advice, or it will be download this or click on here to read the blog, where there could be even a worksheet. I believe in giving value. I also think that the clients that I've worked with, the majority of the women are in business. So what I try and do is I try and promote their businesses to my mailing list. So if it is somebody who's got a photography business, and I decide this month, or I'm going to be doing her in the spotlight, this particular client that is a photographer, I will write a whole thing about how her business has grown, what she's doing, and what if she has an offer, or what value she has. clients that are on my list might look at this and say, oh gosh, I actually need a photographer. We've got this, whatever is happening, and can contact her. I believe also in telling their story, where the clients have started, and by working with me, how their story has changed. So what the clients are up to is something that I like to do and say, you know, this one started off, she didn't have clarity, she didn't have direction, she was really stuck. This is what she's doing now. It promotes their business and lets people know about them, because a lot of these people don't have a big mailing list. And sometimes they get all my clients contacting them, which I think is absolutely fantastic. I'm not somebody who thinks they're my clients, I'm going to keep them all for myself. I'm happy to collaborate so that they can build one another and build each other's businesses. So that's basically how I use it. I will have maybe an offer once a year in my newsletter where I'm saying, I'm doing this offer now and I did something for Mother's Day. I'm doing this offer now because of COVID, it's been Mother's Day, and there's this offer till the end of the month. But I don't do that very often. I try rather and give value than try and sell them something.
I think that really works so much better, because I think that you build this trusted relationship with them. And when they know that you're not just trying to sell them, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves really is when someone sends me something or they're not even promoting their stuff. Like they're promoting somebody else's. We know about affiliate marketing, and there's not that I think there's anything wrong with affiliate marketing. Absolutely not. It's a great way to do business and to collaborate with people and do joint ventures. However, I do think that a lot of times people should be very aware of nurturing their list. I have to tell you, one of the things I love is when somebody will send me something about a launch that somebody else is having, and then on the bottom of their email, it'll say, if you don't want to receive information about this promotion, click here. And then it just takes you out of that, about that promotion, so you don't have to unsubscribe from everything. I think that's really great when people choose to use that. But I really do believe that what I am looking for is for people to add value to me. It's kind of like, well, if you like this, you know, then you might like this too. And one of the things that is the pet peeve that I was referring to is when people send me things in their newsletter and I have to opt in to get them. I'm thinking, I'm already on your email. You're already on my email. I'm already there. Like, why do I have to keep opting in? Now, I realize it's all about segmenting your list. I segment my list too. I totally understand it. But I love it. And I think that it's really kind of interesting. But whenever somebody says to me in their newsletter and says, here's something that I have for you, no opt-in, just click here to download it. You know, it's like psychologically, I love it so much that I always do it, right? You know, but the reality is they already had my email, right? Because they're emailing me right now. But I just really love that. You know, when I send people that are subscribers to my magazine, I don't try to get them to do something else. You know, I think it's important, and I really would love your opinion and perspective on this, but I think it's really important to make sure that when you have a call to action, that you really know what is it that you want them to do and don't give them, you know, 15 different things, right? You know, decide what is it that this email that you're writing to them, what is the step that you want them to take next, and be pretty clear about what that is so that they can make a decision, either yes or no, maybe it's not for them, and tell them what the value is going to be. Don't make us search for it. Don't make us have to go read a whole bunch of stuff. Tell us, here's the value I think it will bring to you, and it's either a yes or a no. And I really love that when people make things clear. I want people to be clear and consistent. I think it's really important in a newsletter.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, it drives me crazy. You're already on the email and they want you to go and give them your email address again. It drives me absolutely crazy. You know, I really believe that you can give a lot of value in your newsletter that will promote you, that people will talk about you. When we started having the lockdown, I did a couple of blogs on working from home, how to work from home, how to declutter your computer, how to declutter your office, valuable tips that I put in a newsletter. And I've had such amazing feedback from people that have said, oh, this was amazing. You weren't trying to make me feel bad, to talk about the coronavirus. I didn't want to hear the word. You actually gave some positive advice that I can do. And I've actually done that. I've actually moved offices and in the house because I'm now not at the dining room table with my husband, etc. And really just what they can do, how they can move their businesses forward by the lessons that I've learned and just really just insightful advice as opposed to trying to sell them something. My call of action is at the bottom of my email. It's there. If they click on it, they click on it. They'll give one an ask if they want to have a call with me. If they don't, I leave it. People are not always ready. And when people are ready, they'll know where to find you.
Exactly. And I think that is really important as well. I think there was a day back in the day, so to speak, where people really wanted their newsletters to be really robust, right? You know, we lived in a world where we wanted lots of information. We found that very, very valuable. I think that we live in a world now where people want things quicker and shorter, right? Sound bites, just tell me a little bit. Because when we had those robust ones, what was happening is we were busy building our business and we would say, oh, I'm going to come back to that. That looks really interesting. And then they wouldn't go back to it, right? But now they just want to hear, tell me something right now that I can just read these two paragraphs and I can take action, right? You know, so I think they really want to just tell me more with less. Yes. And so that's why I really feel like it is really important to know what you should put in your newsletter. So for me, I don't mind if I hear from people more often. Just let it be something that I can read it right now, not have to save it, and then take action or not, and then move on to the next thing. And I really like it when people do that. So I like to see a lot of value. So what would you say that, you know, we all track and we all, you know, look at our analytics, we all look at open rates and click-throughs and all of those things when we're talking about our newsletters. What would you say are some of the most popular things that people like to see in a newsletter for you?
Just before I answer that, what you mentioned about the long email, I've stopped doing that. And what I do is I do very, very short written information, which highlight words so that you can literally skim over the email and pick up just, oh, she's talking about this, literally because those words are in bold. And then underneath, I have a video of me talking about it. So they don't have to even read it. They can listen to the video and they can listen while some of my clients tell me they listen while they're busy cooking or they're feeding their kids. You know, they take it on their iPad. They don't have to literally sit in front of the computer and read this whole business that whatever you've written. So one is, as I said, a highlight. So if they literally skim their eyes over, the highlighted will tell them exactly what this is about. If they want to read more, they will go into reading the whole article. And then but it's short. And then underneath is a video of exactly what's above what I've written. So that's one of the strategies that I use. I've also done market research on my newsletters where I've asked clients to tell me what they think. And I've had very good feedback on that.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so that's just one of the tips. What clients for me are with money coaching is they want to know the things that are very successful for me are the testimonials. So I do video testimonials that I put into my newsletters. Clients want to know, this person has been helped. How did she get help? People love stories. Storytelling is very, very important. And people feel very nurtured by listening to a story. And I find that my audience loves to hear stories of what it was like before. And what is it like now? What did I solve for the client? And I talk about that. The client talks about that in a video.
I think that works really good because then the client can choose to say what they want to say and not say what they don't want to say, right? So it's up to them to have the choice to do what they want. That is what is so great about testimonials. And I think that right now we live in a world where, you know, people are so used to seeing testimonials and different things. I think it really works well when people do video testimonials. I think that is really a good way to get them. And I think it's a good way to share them too. So I really, really like that. So I have to tell you, Ilana, I really appreciate you being here today and answering these questions and sharing a lot about how to really be thinking about your newsletter, how you can use it to network. I think it's really important. And, you know, really thinking about when people do that, connect with those other people too. How many times does somebody talk about somebody in their email? What a great opportunity for them to network within that newsletter. So I really like that. I like that you really shared with us about the archetype. I think that's really great. And I really appreciate that you actually have something for my audience that's going to help them with that. So tell us a little bit about your gift.
Well, on my website, I have a quiz. And when you take the quiz, you will be able to see which archetypes are driving your money behaviors in your business and in your life. From the quiz, you get a very, very good, quite an insightful idea to what is going on. And it goes a lot deeper than you realize. I'm also offering a free call afterwards to discuss what things came up, what else I find threads and behaviors that I see that can help. I don't try and sell. If the person wants to work with me, they work with me. If they don't, it's absolutely fine. I just help them from the quiz to try and get a better idea of what is happening in their relationship with money. So the quiz is on the website.
That is awesome. So how can people connect with you if they'd like to connect with you?
On the website, mindformoneycoaching.com. Quite simple.
What about love simple? I really love simple. That works really, really well for me. So, Elena, one of the things we do here at the Marketing Media Money Podcast is I really want to make sure that I serve and support my audience. And so I always love to ask my guests during the open mic portion, what is your number one marketing, media, and money tip?
A money tip, well, definitely networking through mailing lists. And the main thing is give value. Give value and something unique and interesting, not something that everybody else is doing. Stand out and be different.
I love that. That is fabulous. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I really appreciate it so much. I really want everybody in the audience to connect with her. And for the audience out there, thank you for joining us today on the Marketing Media Money Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, subscribe, and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. And make sure to join us on Facebook in the Marketing Media and Money Facebook group, where you can get up close and personal with our guests. And most of all, I hope you all have a phenomenal day. And remember, if your day isn't phenomenal, you have the power to change it. Until the next episode, have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.